13 and 14 of Isaiah 7. Then he said, "Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." It's enormous, Christmas is. It's absolutely enormous. This thought of God with us. I want us really that just to take, this is probably the only time we'll get this morning maybe, just take some time to step aside from all of the fantasy, all the razzmatazz that goes along with Christmas, to put aside for a moment concerns about the Christmas dinner. Everything's under control, I'm sure. Maybe put aside concerns about family and friends that can't be with us at this Christmas. I want us to dwell for a moment on that miracle that we have just read about, that was written some 700 years before it actually happened. Now, as Christians, we should all know, I hope, what Christmas is really all about. But I fear that we maybe of all a little allowed the world to come in and dull our sense, our sheer wonder of what God has done here at Christmas. It can sometimes be said that pastors and ministers of the gospel, that they find Christmas sermons hard to prepare for. Not because they don't know what to say, they know what to say, but because they struggle to bring anything new. They worry that the congregation has heard it all before. Well, I think they've missed the point. We have heard it all before. Of course we have. We've heard it all before, again and again, and we want to hear it again and again. We don't want anything new to the Christmas story. It's so incredible. It's so wonderful, so awe-inspiring. We don't need any man-made improvement, any inventiveness. Why? Because this story is altogether divine. At the very epicenter is the name Emmanuel, God with us. As Christians, we need to understand that the birth of Jesus Christ signifies so much more than just our own salvation. Of course, it does signify that, and that is incredible. But it also denotes far, far more. We heard something of that from Tim on Tuesday. There is an incredible amount here. God is the eternal I am. God is always in control. God is never changing, and God is ever faithful. And we should take great comfort from the fact that Almighty God, that he formulated his plans a little while ago. No, in eternity past. And every minute detail of God's plan comes to fruition according to his will and according to his time. This virus didn't catch God out. The Bible tells us that before the act of creation, God formulated the plan of salvation. I know we know that piece of scripture where it says in Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. I know we know that. But we shouldn't be We shouldn't just take that for granted. We should be absolutely astounded by that. Our names was written in the book of life before life even began. Try and get your head around that. Now, some 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, in the book of Isaiah, God was telling the house of David, his people, that a virgin would give birth to a Saviour. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Almighty God, the great creator, who for so long was untouchable, out of reach, separated by priests and scrolls and tabernacles. You wouldn't dare go near God. God was telling them that a time was coming, a time when he had planned, when he would come amongst them. When Almighty God would be accessible and reachable to all people. He still is. Can you imagine the reaction back then? Even 2,000 years after this event has happened, just as God foretold it, much of the world's reaction is either disbelieving Or simply indifferent to this awesome birth of God with us. Large swathes of the world, especially large parts of the religious world, simply says verse 14 is impossible. Couldn't happen. I have to tell you that sadly, there are parts of the Christian church that is faltering on the virgin birth and losing sight of this awesome news, God with us. Verse 13 is a warning. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? The rulers of Judah at that time treated the people very, very poorly indeed. But they treated God even more poorly. Someone remarked, if many of us expressed the same distrust we have towards the Lord, towards other people, we might well get a punch on the nose. Mr. Spurgeon, wouldn't be one of my sermons without a quote from Mr. Spurgeon, I think. But he spoke well on this point. He said this, did I not hear someone say, ah, sir, I have been trying to believe you for years. Terrible words. They make the case still worse. Imagine that after I had made a statement, a man should declare that he did not believe me. In fact, he could not believe me, though he would like to do so. I should feel aggrieved, certainly. But it would make matters worse if he had, in fact, I've been trying for years to believe you. And I cannot do it. What does he mean by that? What can he mean but that I am so incorrigibly false and such a confirmed liar that though he would like to give me some credit, he really cannot do it. With all the effort he can make in my favor, he finds it quite beyond his power to believe me. Now, a man who says I've been trying to believe in God in reality says just that with regard to the Most High. And sadly, sadly, there is a multitude of people who are saying just that. I can't believe God. Verse 14 is one of the most famous prophecies regarding the birth of the Messiah in Scripture. We should be constantly thrilled and staggered by this piece of Scripture. We know this passage speaks of Jesus because the Holy Spirit says so through Matthew. Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. We know this passage speaks of Jesus because the prophecy is addressed not only to Ahaz, but also to David's entire house. We read, O house of David. We know this passage speaks of Jesus because it says the virgin shall conceive. And that conception would be assigned to David's entire house. We know this passage speaks of Jesus Christ because it says he will be known as Emmanuel, God with us. People will sometimes say, well, can you not be saved another way? No. God with us. No one else can save sinners, only God with us. And this was wholly true of Jesus. In fact, not only just as a title. Emmanuel speaks both of the deity of Jesus, God with us, and also his identification and nearness to mankind, God with us. Friends, this is the enormity of Christmas, the birth of God with us. As an old preacher put it, in what sense, then, is Jesus Christ God with us? Jesus is called Emmanuel, or God with us, in his incarnation. God with us by the influences of his Holy Spirit in the Holy Sacrament, in the preaching of his word, in private prayer. And God with us through every action of our life that we begin, continue, and end in his name. He is God with us to comfort, to enlighten, to protect and defend us in every time of temptation and trial. He is God with us in the hour of death, in the day of judgment. And God with us and in us. And we with and in him too, through to all eternity. What a joy, friends, to know the enormity of God with us. And I pray that you may know not only God with you this Christmas morning, but in every detail, every daily moment of your life. Until, friends, one day each and every one of us will be with him forever in glory. Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. Amen.